In our last practice, we've begun working with what's called view, right? What is wise view in the Buddhist tradition? And technically speaking, it's the view of interdependence, interbeing, and karma, cause and effect. Or that everything arises from causes and conditions and intention. Actions have a result. But it's also the view that, I love this phrasing of it, Ruth King, who's another great current Dharma teacher, says, life is not perfect, permanent, or personal. And it's this way of describing what are called the three marks of existence, right? The nature of life is unsatisfactory when you're constantly just grabbing for what's pleasant and avoiding what's unpleasant. You're spun by that. It's impermanent. It's always changing, always changing. And it's actually not personal. There's not a solid, lasting, separate self the way we usually perceive there to be. And this can sound kind of theoretical, right? Like, what is that actually? How's that relevant? What does that mean? And I sometimes think about it as a set of implicit expectations that only when they're not met do we suffer and we see. So when I was 23, I was diagnosed with an incurable disease, and my doctor basically said, you'll either die in the next couple of years, or if you're really lucky, you'll get a liver transplant. Apparently, I got a transplant because I'm now 51 and I'm here. But needless to say, at that time, there was it was very unknown. And this was such a teaching because everyone in my life said, oh my God, this is terrible. This shouldn't be happening. You're so young. This shouldn't happen. And I will always remember it. My first Dharma teacher, I told him about my diagnosis, and he looked at me just very coolly and he said, well, you're just like everyone else. They just don't know it. And it was not a lack of compassion. It was the clarity of this is how things are. Life is unpredictably impermanent. Life includes suffering. And it was actually the kindest thing anyone could have said to me. It was like, look at your implicit views that things should not be impermanent, and they are. Look at your implicit view there should be no suffering, and there is. And I say this because there is this last kind of very core foundation of developing equanimity is seeing our unrealistic expectations of reality and then coming into alignment with what is. And alignment doesn't mean condoning. I'll just be my colloquial self. Like, I worked my ass off on this election. I traveled, I phone banked, I this, I that, all the things, right? I brought my daughter with me. And I feel deep grief. But I also feel ground. And I feel like, given the nature of reality, given causes and conditions, given impermanence and suffering, here it is. And now what am I going to do? From a place of ground and feeling. I've cried, you know, I'll cry again, you know. And this next insight dialogue guideline, attuned to emergence, is so helpful because it's a way to actually attune the mind to reality instead of our expectations of it. Yeah. So for the sake of time, you'll just get back with your same partner from before. So find a space to be with them. And Ken, folks will stay in the main room online for a little bit while I share some things, and then we'll practice in breakouts again. And pausing again, here's change, change, change. Feeling the breath, feeling the body. Receive, allow what's here in experience. And I, before we go into attuned to emergence, I want to say one other piece of equanimity and what it's not, which it is not condoning. Equanimity is not for or against anything. It's actually in relationship with what is. So this is really important to sense into, because for many of us who have experiences of marginalization of one kind or another, we have deep layers of conditioning that are about accommodating others and accommodating others' views. So equanimity is not accommodating others' views, bending, condoning. It's actually far more radical, because it's quite radical to be in relationship with reality as it is, not for it, not against it, and move from there. And it's actually more powerful when you know the moment, when you're like, it's like this now in the body, in the heart mind, in the political moment, there's a chance at skillful action. If the mind is stuck in this shouldn't be, or this should be, there's no creativity. Equanimity is like, this is. This is. Now what? So attune to emergence as a meditation instruction is attuning to what is. It's a micro-equanimity practice. Because we attune, we literally, like a tuning fork, tune it to change. And right now, you may notice the change in body sensations. With each breath, there's a subtle change in the whole body. And for a few moments, rest attention with that, like everything moves just a little on the inhale. Moves just a little on the exhale. And that when we attune, we kind of perch on the edge of the moment as it arises, with a sense of curiosity, like we really don't know what the next sensation will be. What the next thought will be. If it'll be pleasant or unpleasant. And really check in your own experience right now. Do you know what the next thought will be? Do you know what the next sensation will be? And then some quickly and some slowly, they're gone. That previous moment of the shoulders coming down on the exhale is completely gone. It's vanished. So we can use this guideline first to attune in this very refined way to present moment experience. Like right now, are there any sounds that stay the same? Did we know that car horn was just going to honk? And as you tune into this moment of body sensations, perceptions, the pleasant and unpleasant, notice, did any of them stay the same? Like exactly the same? Do you know if it will be pleasant or unpleasant? Can you control if it'll be pleasant or unpleasant, that next sensation? Really look for yourself. So in this swirling and unfolding moment by moment, all these causes and conditions rising and falling right now. We can also feel for the larger causes and conditions, the larger arising and ceasing. And you can begin to feel for the arc of time, the depth of change. Where I'm sitting right now used to be covered with 1,000 feet of ice, literally. Perhaps where you are sitting too. This land before colonization, these buildings were not here. How people lived on this land was radically different than we do now. You can feel for this rising and vanishing of empires, of families, of relationships. This is how things are. And as you bring that into awareness, this actuality of change, this actuality of impermanence, of political systems, of your children, how they're little and then they're big. Of this much larger arc of time. What happens to your mind state? Does it broaden or narrow? Does it come into relationship with what is or struggle more? We'll move back into breakout rooms online. Same partner. And this will be open dialogue. So there's another element of attuning to emergence, which is that who will speak, who will listen. It's like listening into the moment. And here, really continue to rely on pause, relax, receive, allow, open. They steady the mind, especially when we move into territory that includes concepts. We need that anchoring in the body, that simplicity. So pause, relax, receive, experience, and open awareness. As you attune to emergence and vanishing, in this larger arc of time, this larger reality of rising and vanishing,